We're in a apostolic government, authentic apostolic government. We're in the first part, Doctrine of the Apostles, and we've been walking through the book of Acts, and in particularly looking at their message that they've been preaching. And we're on the final part of that. We'll get in a little bit of Corinthians, but we're going to finish this tonight. Where we left off was Felix, and we're going to get into Festus and King Agrippa tonight. And so what happened was Paul went to Jerusalem. We're looking in particularly their message. I'm honing in the book of Acts on their message. I want to show you that that's what they preached throughout the book of Acts, was the resurrection and the right hand of God. We have explored that thoroughly, and we're going to finish it tonight. Real powerful part of this. This is my favorite part tonight. And when he went into Jerusalem, there were some Jews from Asia that rose against him and drug him out of the synagogue and beat him. And the captain of the temple there, Lysias, grabbed him up. There was a big hoopla, and Lysias brought him before the chief priest the next day. Paul gave his testimony of the resurrection to them. He says, look, I'm called to question for only one thing. Not because I was a Pharisee. He goes, not because I kept the law. I'm called to question because I bear witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that he is alive. And that's why I'm called into question. And it got so crazy during that time that 40 men had made a vow to kill him. And they had to assign two centurions in anywhere, depending on how you read it, from 270 to 470 soldiers were assigned to escort him from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Anybody need 270 people escorting you? You got 270 people escorting him around. That was an important man to the kingdom of God. And they went there and they went before Felix. He gave his testimony before Felix. Now, where I want to pick it up is 2 years later, after Felix's government is given. Now, he was the governor, and he was changing hands to Festus. Now, Festus is going to take over Felix's position. Now, I want you to know this same stirs. 2 years later, they're still stirred. They still want to take him out. 2 years later, you'd think things would settle down. Not when you're carrying the power of the resurrection. Things never settle down. Because what's on you and who's with you, the Holy Ghost, bearing the testimony of the same place. See, he was bearing the eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Christ, and the Holy Spirit was bearing the testimony of the resurrection in the right hand of Christ. See, they were working together, and there was power on Paul's ministry. He was an apostle with power attached to it. Amen? We are going to see a return of the power of Christ in the power of God under a authentic apostolic government. As God is fulfilling all things, is going to bring all the foundations of the apostolic government back in to fullness again. Amen. So that's where we're going to pick it up in Acts 24, verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. When he would say he came into his room, he came into his office. And Felix, willing to show the Jews pleasure, left Paul bound. So this is 2 years after all that hoopla. And it's going to all start up all over again under Festus' governorship. Because God is going to have Paul testify wherever he went. He's going to give him a room. He's going to give him a platform. He's bringing the leaders of the city out, bringing the chief priest out. He's going to bring the king, Agrippa, I believe. His father is the one that killed James the apostle. So he knew all about what's going on. Amen. So let's look in chapter 25, verse 1. Now when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. See, the high priest, they're still stewing. They're still want to know about that man Paul that's been in chains for 2 years. And the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul. He's a new governor. We'll get this governor. The last politician would not do what we want to do. We'll get this one to do what we need to do. You'd think 2 years later they'd be done with it. They are not done with it. And they got the chief priest and the chief of the Jews, 25 and 2, informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, lying in wait to kill him. 2 years later, chief priest, elders, leaders want to still kill him. And Festus answered that Paul should be kept in Caesarea. He says, you can come to Caesarea and make your case again. And they said, no, we want him here. And he said, no, I'm going to keep him in Caesarea. Look at verse 7. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood around about, laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. When people start persecuting you for what you're carrying, it's a time to rejoice. Don't ever think you're going to carry apostolic power or be a part of an apostolic operation and it'll be not persecution. When power, real, raw power, the kind of power that goes beyond the church wall and start affecting the cities where the leaders of the city show up in your meeting. That kind of power. When that shows up, there's going to be glory and persecution. But the glory is so powerful that you don't even feel or think about the persecution because you're living in another place. Everyone say amen. Hallelujah. See, thing is, God's going to lift us all to live up in another realm. You're going to live in a realm of peace and glory where the things of this world don't affect you. Even the negative things of this world, they won't affect you. You're living in another realm. That's why you need to get up in there now. Amen. Hallelujah. So they're laying grievous complaints. So Paul's going to give his defense all over again. Brand new crowd. Old crowd and a new crowd and a new governor. But God's going to add the king. He's going to bring a king. God knows how to set a stage for you. He'll set up a platform when you're ready. Amen. Verse 12. Then Festus, when he conferred with the council, the council already got established. Paul had a way of getting the council together real fast. Hallelujah. Answered, if thou art appealed unto Caesar thou shalt go. Festus wanted to send him back to the Jews. Paul knew, you sent me back there, I'm a dead man. He goes, I appeal to Caesar. Take me to Rome. That was all part of God's plan anyway. You see, everything you saw done happened. He went before Caesar too. It wasn't recorded in the New Testament. Now watch this, verse 13. After certain days, oh, here we go, King Agrippa shows up. See, God is setting the stage. Festus, King Agrippa, leaders of the city, you're going to see in a minute, they had quite a meeting going on. Because Paul is about to give one of his greatest testimonies of the resurrection of Christ. And he had the whole city out to hear it. And certain days, verse 13, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus because he'd come into his new governorship. Now, Paul was the talk of everything. It wasn't Festus' new governorship or the fact that King Agrippa showed up. It's Paul because the Holy Ghost got everybody centered around his man. When you're carrying something, he'll put you before great people. Verse 14. And when they had been there many days, now notice what Festus. First, we're going to look at his testimony to King Agrippa. I mean, he's not in office, but a couple of days, and already Paul is the number one agenda. And he's going to give his testimony, Festus' testimony to King Agrippa, and then King Agrippa's going to say, I want to see that man. Then God's going to put him right in front of King Agrippa. You sit in front of the king. And when they had been there many days, verse 14, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king. Say, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. 2 years. This is not going away. When you're carrying something, if it be of man, it will be diminished. If it be of God, it cannot be diminished.
If it be of man, it will come to nothing. If it be of God, you cannot stop it. That's actually what was said. If your life and calling be of man, it'll come to nothing. If it be of God, it cannot be stopped. When it gets rolling, if it be of God, have no fear about persecution or men, because it cannot be stopped. Amen. Hallelujah.
And when they had been there many days, verse 14, Festus declared Paul's case unto the king, saying, there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. He's a very interesting man. Unto whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have a judgment against him. Look down to verse 18. Against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed.
but had certain questions against him of their own superstition. Here it is. Here's a testimony of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. That's Festus's testimony to King Agrippa. He goes, I don't even know what's wrong with the guy. I thought he was a murderer. We've got the big issue here, King Agrippa, was some superstition that there's a Jesus. Now, King Agrippa knew all about that Jesus because his daddy all up in there. He goes, but he affirms that this Jesus is alive. King Agrippa, I want to meet him. As soon as he heard about that, he goes, set up a meeting. You didn't see King Agrippa flip out. He says, set up a meeting. I want to hear him tonight. Notice this, they're going to have a meeting. Verse 23. On the morrow, I want you to see what this meeting looked like. You got to really meditate the word to see what's happening there. There wasn't a few people around. On the morrow, King Agrippa was come, and Bernice, his wife, and with great pomp. Do you see that? If you have a King James Bible, it'll say, with great pomp, they came in. Like a king and a queen would come into a city. I mean, royalty had showed up. There was a platform. There was a banquet. It was all there. I mean, everybody in the city, look at that. With great pomp. And was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, with the mayor and everybody else, the wealthy men, the principal men of the city, everybody had come out. God is setting a platform for the whole city all over again. Got the king in there, great pomp, walking through the door with the train, everything. You got it. Wasn't this a little small hearing testimony? Whole city, leaders. You know what it takes to get leaders of what they're doing? Principal men of the city of what they're doing to show up to hear somebody's been in chains for 2 years? The man has been in prison. You got the king's attention, the leaders of the city. God had it set up. He knows how to set you up. You're not going to have that if you don't have something working on you. You understand that? Paul had something he was carrying. You don't sign 2 centurions to somebody unless you're carrying something. But 270 men or 470, I mean, after 270, who's counting? 70 horsemen alone. He had something on him. He was wearing heaven. He was wearing a dimension of another realm. Even though he was in prison, everybody wanted to hear him. And Festus brought him forth, and Festus said, King Agrippa, verse 24, and all men which are here present with us, you see this man, the whole city's out. There wasn't even one advertisement. Holy Ghost set it all up, brought the whole city out. And you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and here also, crying that he ought not to live any longer. Those Jews that were there that followed him and came back there, King Agrippa, all the wealthy city, the Jews want to still kill him. He said, this is the man right here, King Agrippa. Kind of brings it into a new light, doesn't it? Chapter 26, verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered with himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Paul got him an audience. He knew it. He'd been sitting in that prison for 2 years. But God had him ready. What do you think he's been doing? God knew how to take an A-type personality and set him down. So he'd go up into heavenly places. He said, I'm going to do all that you would do that whole 2 years. I'm giving you one platform right now. What you couldn't do in 2 years of ministry, I'll set it all up for you. Here. Here's the whole city. Here's the king of the province, the governor, all the leaders, and the ones that persecuted you. Here they are, all of them. Fire away, Paul. Oh, man, his juice was flowing. He said, because I shall answer for myself this day, touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews. Especially because I know you, king, to be an expert in the customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was first among my own nation in Jerusalem, know all the Jews which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand, now here it is, verse 6. This is why everybody's here, by the way, King. This is why everybody's here. Now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made unto God, unto our fathers. Made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I'm accused of the Jews. This is why everybody's here right now. This is my trial. This is my defense. I'm going to lay it out for you. Why should it be thought such an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? I'm going to read from the Amplified. Verse 6 in the Amplified. I stand here on trial to be judged on the ground of the hope of that promise made to our forefathers by God, which hope of the Messiah and the resurrection. That's why I'm here, because I bear witness of the Messiah and I bear witness of his resurrection. And why should it be such a great thing to know that God can raise the dead? That's why we're here. That's why I'm on trial. And that's why they want to kill me, because I bear witness. And he goes on to bear his witness. Verse 12. You have to remember, your Holy Ghost is standing right next to him. He was convincing. He already done filled the place up. Because at the end of this, King Agrippa almost, he said, you're persuading me, Paul. And all his pomp and glory was about to get on his knees right there. Verse 12. Now he's going to tell the king what happened to him. Whereupon I went unto Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest. In midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. He's going to bear his eyewitness testimony. See it? Above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth. You see that? Fallen to the earth. There's some encounters that'll knock you down. Hallelujah. I heard a voice speak unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. Paul is giving his eyewitness testimony to the king and the whole city. Notice what he says. But rise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared to thee for this purpose. He appeared to him outside of the 12. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Look at this. Make thee a minister and a witness of the things which thou hast seen today and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. That's what he told him on Damascus Road when he appeared to him, commissioned him, sent him. He says, and I send you the Gentile. He sent him and appeared to him. Paul, under an apostolic office, received the eyewitness testimony and the commission and born again all in one shot and blinded for 3 days under that light. That's powerful. Verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, verse 22, I continue this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things the prophet and Moses did say should come. Christ should suffer. He should be the first to rise from the dead. He said, not only have I seen it, King Agrippa, the prophets bear witness to it from the word. He's preaching the word with his eyewitness. The Holy Spirit's right there. Whole city came out. The reason our testimony of the resurrection is not carrying the weight just yet. It's because there's some more things that are going to be added to it. Verse 27, he goes, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Do you believe them? I know you believe. Well, Paul is centering on that king. He wants the big fish. God put the big fish, and Paul's casting for the big fish right now. He's talking straight at the king. Then King Agrippa said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Do you understand what's going on there? Those words weren't just persuading him. The Holy Ghost was up in there. They were feeling it the same way. If you'll read back when Paul and Felix got together, Felix would get and come before Paul and come in with him, and he would tremble when Paul spoke. Because the Holy Ghost knows how to make governors and kings and politicians tremble. Your testimony, see, he was coming out of testimony. His testimony was coming out of heaven. Holy Ghost was adding his glory to it, making the kings, even in their pomp and glory, forget about who they are for a moment and say, wait a minute, I'm about to hit my knees here. I can't even imagine what kind of glory was up in there when Paul was speaking. Amen. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just for a couple minutes take a look at the book of Corinthians. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Both books, Paul was saying a lot, but mostly he was making a defense, both in both books. He gets very heavy in his defense in the second book of Corinthians, but he calls them out for their carnality. He calls them out almost in every chapter of the first book of Corinthians. He says, you're carnal in chapter 3. Fornicators in chapter 5, suing each other law in chapter 6, idolatry in chapter 9, more division and carnality in chapter 11 at the communion table, that Christ died for you to be one and you're all divided out. He's getting on them. But here he's making a defense of his apostleship, and I'll tell you why. So, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3, this will help you understand these books. See, Paul birthed these. He came in with great power. He birthed them, became an apostle over them, set up churches. And now the false apostles had come in unaware. We don't have any of those in our day and hour. But they came in. And look at this. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 13 and 3 says, since you seek a proof that Christ is speaking in me. Do you see that? They birthed him. But because of these false apostles, he says, because of the abundance of my revelations, there was given me a thorn, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he talked about all that he did, and he was constantly discrediting him everywhere he would go, discrediting his ministry, discrediting his name, bearing reproach of Christ. And so much so that this particular church in the Corinthians, they didn't even know anymore whether Christ was speaking through him. They wanted proof. Give me proof. You are my proof. I birthed you. I don't need a letter of recommendation. It's some others. He says, you are my epistle. You are my recommendation. You were birthed in the Spirit. Now you don't even know Christ is speaking through me anymore. So a lot of in these books, he's given his defense of his apostleship. And I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You'll see this very heavy in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He goes, look, I don't even receive offerings of you. He goes, I don't even do that because people come in and robbing you and you're calling them the apostle, but you don't even know that Christ is speaking through me anymore. Do I bring anything or reproach against you? Do I even charge you? Do I receive offerings of you? He goes, I rob other churches. Churches of Thessalonica are paying for you to receive what you receive because I'm giving it to you free. Because you don't believe Christ is speaking, yet you'll take a man who'll come and stand in front of me and rob you with his doctrine. And you'll say, oh, that's God, that's God, that's God. And he goes, and here I am, I deliver the word and the foundations of his glory and the power of God. He goes, I don't want to see the speech of him, I want to see the power. Kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. He should show me the power. He goes, when I come, I don't want to see their speech. I want to see their power. In 2 Corinthians, he goes on the revelations and visions. He goes, I was caught up in the third heaven. Saw unspeakable things, full of glory. Out of the right hand of God, send us again. Send us from heaven. Do you know when he sent his disciples in the upper room, he said, you're not of this world. He was talking to them at one point, you're here, and then he took them to another place. He goes, now you're not of this world, but I'm going to send you back to the world. So you need to be sent from another place. If you're sent from this world, you don't get anything done. You got to be there and sent from there. Jesus said, I come from there. I've seen him. His message was the same as the apostles. His message was, I've seen the Father, you have not. And if you cannot believe that I have seen him and he sent me, then believe the works, because no other man's going to do what I'm going to do in front of you. Our message was, we have seen him. We've seen the Lord. He's the only way to the Father. Still the same message. If we bear witness of his resurrection and him being the only gateway to the Father. 1 Corinthians 9:1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus? Now, why would he say that? He seems to be referencing the fact that, am I not apostle? Have I not seen him? He goes on to say in another chapter, which we're going to get into, that every single apostle in the New Testament saw him. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. He's still in his defense mode here. Which also you received and wherein you stand. So he's going to declare the gospel that he preached to them, what he considers the true, authentic gospel. Notice what he says. By which also you are saved and kept in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered, and here's the gospel he preached. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. You see the gospel of resurrection, 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 resurrection. Now, notice what he says. These are some very important verses here. These next four verses are huge. Verse 5. Paul was laying foundation of apostolic government here. These are very, very important scriptures. He says, look, I'm preaching the resurrection of Christ. He's still in his defense mode about his apostleship. Now watch what he says. It's very powerful here. Verse 4, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. And how do we know this? Because he left eyewitness testimony by his apostles that he rose again. He's going to get into it. He was seen of Peter, then of the 12. He left Mary Magdalene and the five women completely out of this one. He was seen of above 500 brethren at one time. They were probably in a meeting. I imagine the 120 were there. The 70 were there. 500 people one time there, probably in the middle of a meeting, somebody was ministering a meeting, and Jesus himself appears in front of all of them in a resurrected state. He will not be shy in his appearances in an apostolic government. Though there may be, and there are legitimate apostles and apostolic operations, we are still in the phase of restoration. There's going to be the eyewitness again in the last days, because the apostolic order, eyewitness testimony, is a must, according to what Paul was saying here. 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. How could every apostle give apostolic testimony of the resurrection, eyewitness testimony? It was filled with the book of Acts. And we want the same thing that they had in the book of Acts. Do you want the same thing they had? They had something that presently the church right now does not fully have. They were carrying an eyewitness testimony. You know, do you understand the world is a courtroom? Verse 7, very important. Put eyeballs by it and say, look, look, look. And he was seen of James. Now, this is James the Less. This is the Lord's brother. The Lord appeared to all kind of all his family. Cleopas, you know, the two on the way of Damascus. Cleopas was Joseph's brother. Do you know that? James, his brother, saw him. He appeared to a lot. A lot of his family saw him. Salome, I think, was Cleopas' wife. Verse 7, very powerful. He was seen of James, then of all. Does your translation say all? All the apostles. Say all. How many is all? Is there anyone in the New Testament that was an apostle that did not see him in his resurrection? Why? Because their message was to bear witness of the resurrection. How can you bear secondhand testimony? Might be a few holes in our theory of why the power shows up. At last of all, he was seen of me. It's the second time in the same book. Said, I have seen him. I bear testimony. You don't even think Christ is speaking to me or through me? He apprehended me on the road of Damascus. I saw him. He blinded me. He's the one that gave me. He apostled me personally outside of the 12. Gave me everything he gave them. Gave me the message of the right hand of God. Gave me the message of the resurrection, gave me the eyewitness testimony, and I was commissioned directly from him on the road to Damascus. Everything they got, I got. And you don't even think Christ is speaking through me anymore? Last of all, he was seen also of me as one born out of due season. Is that good or what? Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you that there's no resurrection? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ be not risen, our preaching's in vain, because this is what we preach. I'm so glad I'm on at least their message. I want their power. I want what they had. Well, we're going to go beyond the book of Acts. I hear people say that. I said, I'd just like to have what they had in the book of Acts. Do you have any idea what they had? Peter's glory was on Peter, that a whole city would come around all around Jerusalem, laid them in beds and couches, and the glory of God falling on them. The Holy Ghost, full manifestation, raising of the dead, raising men that had been in the bed 38 years. The man at Gate Beautiful. It's going to be pretty hard to top that kind of stuff. I just like to have what they had. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have something now. I'm carrying, I've been commissioned out of the throne room of God, and the Holy Ghost stands with me today. And as I bear witness of his resurrection, he will bear witness to you of the resurrection, because I've been commissioned. There's going to be some commissioning out of the right hand of God. God's going to call his church up high enough where he can commission them from his jurisdiction. He does not commission from the world. He commissions from the right hand under apostolic government. Once it's in full bloom, then they begin commissioning. Antioch commissioned Paul, sent him out under an apostolic government, him and Barnabas. But he had already been commissioned from above. That apostolic government had already been set up. God's going to restore it all. Every bit of it. The message, the eyewitness, the commissioning, and the power. Is it a wonder why the power's not here? Because there's components still lacking. So I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I am too. He's the one teaching this stuff right here. See, but we got what he had. Yeah, but he's doing everything in reverse. See, they got the eyewitness and the commission before the Holy Ghost fell. But he's restoring everything. There's legitimate apostolic operations everywhere, but we're not through yet. There's going to be some fulfillment of these things. There was a lot of appearing going on, my friend. On an apostolic, it wasn't just the apostles. I showed you right there that 500. There was a lot of it. It was part of their testimony to the world, because the world's a courtroom. And God's coming to him and said, you are spiritually dead, but I've made a way for you to come back and be reconciled to me. And the devil says, I own them. They're part of my network. He said, I own them. God said, all right, then I will bring testimony to this courtroom. I will send eyewitness testimony that I have made a way in only one way back to me. If I saw a wreck and I couldn't go and I sent Anna, look, you and I are one. Go to the judge and tell him what I saw. And she's telling him what I saw.
We're one. And because we're one, I'm representing him. And I trust him and I'm speaking for him.
And Judge Chuck says,
no.
Because it's not eyewitness testimony. It's secondhand testimony. I trust you. You're an awesome person. I just can't accept it under law of a courtroom. I can only accept eyewitness testimony. Do you see that? Do you know why the eyewitness is so important under an apostolic government? Because of the message. The message is, under apostolic government, I just preached you the whole book of Acts. Their message was the resurrection. Their message was the resurrection. If they were going to go to the courtroom of the world, why wouldn't he give eyewitness? Well, isn't it better to believe without seeing? Yes, of course it is. This is not about whether you believe or not. It's about your eyewitness testimony to the world. It's about, remember I said it's a judicial issue? It's about a judicial setting. What did Jesus say, though? If you can't believe what I say to you, believe the works, I'll give you something. God didn't even ask the sinner to believe just your words. You only got half testimony when you testify. There's somebody else, another lawyer, that's going to step in with you. He's called the Holy Ghost. He goes, I'm going to step in as your paraclete. Now, I'm also going to bear testimony. Judge! The sinner's the judge. The devil's offering them testimony that God is not real. We're offering testimony. Yes, I offer eyewitness testimony on apostolic government. I offer the eyewitness testimony very much so 2,000 years later. This Lord Jesus is reigning in the right hand of God, and he is the only way. And I give you my eye because I've seen him, and they go, ha, prove it. Holy Ghost steps in and said, okay, that's my job now. And then he begins to offer the demonstration of his spirit, demonstrating the message and the eyewitness testimony. He is the convictor and the convincer. Did he not make Felix tremble? Did King Agrippa, in all his pomp and glory, almost want to bow down? And he probably went to Paul when nobody was around and said, Paul, I give my life right now. God bearing them witness with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Great power. I'm going to rattle some scriptures. I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to rattle them off, and then I'm closing. I'm just going to speak these. I'm not going to offer my 2 cents. Here it is. Acts 4:33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the defense chapter. My speech and my preaching, when Paul was saying, when not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come unto you, the ones we were talking about earlier. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and I will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, still in his defense mode. Ready? Well, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle are wrought among you in all patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power. And in the Holy Ghost, I am telling you, we are set on a journey. We are going to see the power of God again manifested in a first world nation. The leaders of those nations are going to come out and witness God, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, and God the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set the stage again. Don't be going trying to build something. Wait till you be endued with power. Wait till you get every component, then release it. Everything's being built. There's a whole lot of flesh going on right now. It's grieving. I weep sometimes when I turn on the television and look. A lot of people trying to conform to the world's ways. Just trying to conform, making their gospel relevant to the generation we live in. Look, the relevancy of this gospel is your testimony and the Holy Ghost standing next to you. And if we're lacking components of it, then we should go to heaven and say, look, if we want what they have, then give us what they had. At least give us everything they had. Why should we 2,000 years later have to go with secondhand testimony? They didn't even hear. They weren't around. This is 2,000 years later. We're given the same testimony that our Lord and Savior, the only way to the Father, is alive and well. Your theological debate is going to get nowhere. You have to have the Holy Ghost stand next to you. But he judicially needs eyewitness again. And when the government releases, it'll fill the other offices. As far as we know, Stephen didn't see the Lord before miracles were operating in his life. Philip. We don't know that Philip saw the Lord because he was an evangelist, but they were full of power because the apostolic government filled those offices. I don't need eyewitness to believe. I can climb up in the Lord in the right hand of God almost on a daily basis. I've never seen him. I don't need that. The word of God was enough to find that place. I need it because I'm going to the courtroom of the world system. I'm going to the unbeliever. And judicially, we have to have eyewitness. Judicially, the Holy Ghost has all the apostolic power to win this whole city. That same Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. Why was the 13th apostle chosen, Matthias? What was his qualifications? One must needs be as the bear witness of the resurrection, had to have been with us from the baptism of John until the very hour he was taken up from us. That was his qualification to be chosen as an apostle to see the Lord in a resurrected state. Romans 15, verse 18. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. You ought to give ear to what you're hearing tonight. Because there are keys being released. They're going to open the whole thing up. That government will birth again. And the sign of that government, there will be power. It won't be manufactured power. It won't be a little bit of that and a little bit of this. It will bring the city out. Father, thank you. We are not ashamed of this gospel. I am not ashamed to preach what we see and what we presently need. To do it again, Father, we need what they had. We thank you that you've already heard us. We wrote a petition for it. We wrote a constitution, Father. That if you did it once, you changeth not. You will do it again. And the full apostolic order will come back. We testify publicly we don't need to see you to believe. We testify publicly we need the firsthand eyewitness for the courtroom of the world. You filleth us with all things. You grant us at least what the first generation had. I hear the Spirit of the Lord tell me to tell you, it was the reason he pulled Paul apart from the 12 and gave him everything he gave the 12 to show under apostolic order there is components that will be fulfilled.